Hey coaches, Adam here. As we kick off summer, I want to encourage coaches, especially those engaging in fall seasons, to start developing your leaders today. Do not miss the opportunity that the summer provides to start shifting the mindset of our players and start engaging and exciting them into their leadership and character. There can be tremendous momentum established in the offseason as you get ready for the upcoming season. Take advantage of our coaches membership filled with different drills, activities, and exercises that can start being used today. So when the season starts, there's been momentum established, standards have been risen, and your athletes are performing at a higher level than ever before. Take advantage of the coaches membership. Don't take the summer off.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam Bradley alongside Kyle Almendorf. And today we're going to be jumping into the topic of when should we host our leadership sessions? If you've spent any time around Lead 'Em Up, you've heard that phrase sessions often referenced. Sessions, we believe, are 30 to 50 minutes of distraction-free, uninterrupted, intentional focuses on leadership and character within your team. 30 to 50 minutes. And our hope, ultimately, is for teams throughout the course of a calendar year to get to 12 sessions. It's just kind of the number we've landed on based on our research, based on our conversations with other programs, based on our own experiences doing this with teams. It seems to be just the sweet spot, that 12, right? That when you get to 12, it kind of captures a great kind of collection of our curriculum. It really cements the role of leadership development in our players' minds. It is shown as a commitment to the players when there's that 12, when you get really to that 12. And once again, over a calendar year. When do you do it, Kyle? You know, like 12, someone could look, okay, 12 over calendar year. What's that, one a month? Well, not necessarily, right? Maybe not every month. Maybe it happens in different portions of the season, maybe off season, in season, maybe it fluctuates. We want to spend some time today talking about some of the best rhythms for these sessions. When should we do them? What frequency? How much time in between, right? What day of the week? Should it be in season? Should it be off season? What if everybody can't attend? Right. And I only get a portion, like all these different dynamics, you know, let's talk about that. And hopefully this can help provide that value to a coach as they're looking to, once again, continue cementing and rolling out a dynamic leadership and character program within their organization to help fuel the culture and growth of their players. You got to kind of get this rhythm right. We've got to kind of understand the dynamic here. Kyle, just general thoughts as we get going here.
Yeah, there's so many dynamics, like you said, that go into it based upon like when the sport is. Is it a spring sport, a winter sport, or a fall? And depending on that, that might change the rhythm of the program. So for example, right now, it's the prime time for our fall sports as they're getting ready to kick off. And one of the things that we're really talking about in our member calls is that over the summer months, if we can get the green team framework built and installed in these summer months, then those programs are going to have a tremendous amount of momentum once practice starts in August. Now, if you're starting to look at like a winter sports team, you may not be able to do that framework and it might not be appropriate for you at that exact time because maybe you're sharing athletes and obviously you're going to have a 4-month gap between the summer work and the official start to your season. So I think those are nuances that always depend on like the size of the school, the number of people that might be shared with a different sport. And those are things that I think what's great about our program and when we offer that is we offer a lot of flexibility and things are very fluid, at the same time, very nuanced and very adaptable to someone's certain needs. And one of the things that really helps with that, I think from our end, is our team leadership assessment that we just kind of rolled out. So we'll get into that a little bit more in depth, I'm sure, as this conversation continues. But the off season, no matter what sport you're in is the perfect time to have some of the introductory exercises, conversations, and the relationship pieces.
What I just took from you primarily is a great reminder that it's personalized for every team.
Right.
Right. And it really is that there is not a one size fits all. There are general rule of thumbs. There are general practices. There are certainly suggestions and guidelines that it can help increase the frequency and success of it. But every coach has to kind of figure it out on their own to some degree. As you mentioned, you know, here at the beginning of summer, at the time of this recording, we are recording here on June 23rd. Once again, depending on each state, some states have been done with school for a couple of weeks. Some have just finished, all right, depending on some even countywide and in various states, they vary. So everyone's different in that regard. I'll just speak to where we are here in Maryland. Okay. So right now, school in the largest county, one of our prominent counties, just finished last week. All right, we're late. Just finished last week. And I am in the mode right now this week doing all of our summer kickoffs with all of our football programs going into the fall. We're doing that this week. Just literally finished the last couple of days. And what we do there is that we do the summer kickoff, and we do it this week because everybody's here.
Yeah,
we have about 98% attendance on this summer kickoff. And the summer kickoff is the beginning of the green team framework that you just alluded to.
Right.
We are establishing the foundation of the green team. If they have done it before, we are reestablishing the foundation. Just because they heard it once doesn't mean they fully get it. You've heard me talk on past episodes. I even give them a pass to leave the lead them up session. I say, you don't even need to sit in this. If you've heard this before and you know it, I will give you a pass. And I make them tell me all seven rules of the green team off the top of their head. Repeat them to me. Say them. Nobody ever can fully recall them. No surprise. Not upset about it. They know it. They haven't fully learned it, though. Right. So they need to keep leaning in. So we do these summer kickoffs, Kyle. 98% of the team is there, and that is key. Let me emphasize that very, very heavily. No matter the season you do it, the core foundations of what you're going to be rolling out, the green team framework, you need all attendance. It needs to be almost mandatory. There may be one or two that'll miss, but everybody needs to be on board. It needs to kind of be established. So whenever we do a kickoff, we want attendance. That is one of the biggest driving factors of when we schedule that. Can everybody be there? How many people are we going to be missing? I'll share this, that these four football teams, for example, this week that we've done the kickoffs for, we are going to be operating on a roughly an every week schedule all throughout the summer. So each of those teams have plans right now for 6 to 8 sessions during the summer months. Some of them a little more, some of them a little less. 6 to 8 is the average for all four of those teams. We're going to keep a consistent flow all throughout the summer, really building that green team framework. We're going to lay out the various pieces of it, lifeguarding. We're going to roll out our 6 partners, right? And it'll be their accountability throughout the season. We're going to talk about our running from red and our response from red. We're really going to go all in on the green team framework in the summer. And then when we get into the season, where we've got an additional 6 to 8 in the season, once again, depending on team, that's when we get into the nuance of accountability, the mental work with mixing board and intensity spectrum. The relationships go stronger there in the gold mines and such. The followership begins to unpack. Toaster, things of that nature begin to kind of play out during the course of the season. But Kyle, I share this because one of my field hockey teams, for example, just was on the phone with them. Obviously, field hockey here in Maryland is a fall sport. They're going through the lead 'em up program this upcoming year. And we were talking about the schedule and the plan. They live in this school's in a relatively affluent area where large portion of the team, they are traveling all throughout the summer. Their schedules are chaotic. Sure. They're doing like a month up in the upstate New York and things like that with their families and all that. And because of that demographic and because of that dynamic, we're actually not doing a summer kickoff. We're actually not going to do any sessions this summer. We are waiting until the team is established on August 16th, and we are going to do our summer kickoff once the team is established on August 16th. And we are going to stack heavy in the beginning of the season, right? 4 to 5 sessions early out of the gate to kind of catch them up on what we could have been doing during the summer.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that great illustration of just, again, how it can be modified depending on a team's needs. But I think the most important thing there is that that foundation has to be heavily entrenched at the beginning. And the key part of that is the language that needs to be understood. As you mentioned, before you get to some of the more nuanced exercises and themes, everyone from the coaching staff to the players has to start speaking that lead 'em up language, because that's what makes it work. And you can't get to the more nuanced experiences and exercises if that foundation hasn't been built. So, you know, for the coaches out there listening, whether your situation is one where you've got an entire summer to roll it out and maybe you're doing one per week, that's the great thing is, like, we work very closely with our coaches and our teams to where we're able to kind of walk them through that process, whether it's something that is, you know, a live training like you mentioned, or if it's someone that has a coach's membership, we create that plan with them. We sit down with them and look at their summer schedule, look at when they're going to be together, when the season starts, and then how can they most, you know, efficiently roll this out and gain the momentum that's needed for the season that's starting.
Yeah. I mean, and that personalization is it's evaluating the ebbs and flows of your season, recognizing when you're going to have the full team together, recognizing not wanting to prevent gaps too extended in between trainings. Okay. So let me just give some general rule of thumbs for frequency and scheduling of sessions. One, we try not to ever have 2 weeks or more go by between sessions, right? There's a major loss in momentum when you do that.
Yeah.
That's one. Secondly, we want full attendance or as close to full attendance in almost all the sessions, especially the foundational kickoffs. Very hard to get somebody back up to speed and all in when they've missed some of the early kickoffs there. They will just forever be behind. They will, as a result, it will not be fully bought in and understanding the scope and the big picture of what this is all about and everything that is entailed with it. Try your best to find a regular routine within the schedule.
Yeah, I think
this doesn't always work because there's so much change during the season, rainouts and cancellations and things come up. And so it isn't a perfect science, but when you can get a regular routine, it is so beneficial. Yeah, I think back to some of my teams right now, you know, Francis Scott Key, Coach Will Thompson, when we were together, he was adamant. Oh, I felt pressure, Kyle. I felt pressure from Coach. Literally, hey, I love Coach Thompson. If he's listening to this, shout out to Coach. But I felt pressure. He wanted Monday at 3 o'clock every single week. No questions asked.
Why
football
Monday?
Program. He wanted to come off the weekend. He wanted that first thing after school before they stepped on the field to kind of like reset mentally, mm-hmm. to kind of get the team refocused off the weekend. Boom. Let's take the first 45 minutes right after school to kind of get our mind right for what's ahead that week. Cause you know, each week the grind begins anew. Right. And if you're on it, and I agree with him, I understand where he was going with this, that, you know, you come off, let's say you practice on Saturday or you didn't practice. Some teams do, depending on what happens Friday night, you know. But let's say you don't practice Saturday. You know, you got Saturday and Sunday off. Now, all of a sudden, Monday, you know, it takes the first 30, 45 minutes of practice to just kind of like get the blood flowing, to kind of just get it heated up a little bit, right? Because we've had 2 days off. We're just kind of getting acclimated. Man, you go into a lead 'em up session right after school on Monday before practice. There's no buffer, man. They walk out of that session ready to go. And it sets the tone for a great week. Now, Coach Larry Hurd, Walter Johnson football. Oh my gosh. He had a different approach. Once again, I loved his approach. Coach Thompson did it with just varsity. Coach Hurd says, I want the whole program. every Thursday, right after school, we will meet in the weight room for 45 minutes to an hour before walkthrough. Here was his thought. Walkthrough is a lighter physical day. Walkthrough is a more mental day.
Yep, absolutely.
Walkthroughs are shorter practices. Right? They're not as intense as a Tuesday practice in the football scope. So for him, he said, you know what? I can afford. Let's do the 45 to an hour right after school on a Thursday. Let's mentally get them locked in. So then they have a sharp walkthrough where there's confidence that then comes from the short walkthrough that then carries over into the game on Friday. And sometimes the themes and messages that get communicated on Thursday and this alignment and coming together will carry over in momentum for Friday.
Yeah.
Now, Coach Rajeski, let's do Mondays at lunch. Mondays at lunch. We get an hour for lunch at Churchill High School. Let's do Mondays for lunch. Similar thought to Coach Thompson, right? Coming off the weekend. Here, though, we'll get them at lunch. So then they step right into practice, ready to go. Kind of fires them up. New, different challenges when you do it at lunch, by the way, right? You just, it's in the midst of the school day.
A lot going on, yeah.
A lot going on, but it worked. It became a routine. Every Monday during lunch, we would do lead them up. And every football player knew Mondays, lead them up for lunch. They would plan for it. It was part of what we did. And it worked. It worked. Right. So, and then you've got everything in between. Then you've got coaches kind of doing it when the schedule permits. And, you know, when you look at some of the other sports, you know, sometimes it's done at the heels of a busy week. We had three games and 5 days and the team is tired. Let's go lead them up. Right. You take an Eric Soots up in New York. Oh, it is laid out in the schedule. Every single player knows in advance for the whole season when the sessions are. And he's got them built in and in conjunction with film work or, you know, like X and O rollout and execution, right? We're going to do classroom lead them up work. And then we're going to spend some, you know, 60 minutes rolling out a new offense or a new set or things like that. You know, you've got to find what works for you. You've got to try to get into a rhythm and get this kind of cemented within the team so they know.
Right. I think that's the biggest takeaway for coaches that are listening is because there's so many that are across the board. They have different dynamics with their school that they're working with, different environments that they're working in. But the number one thing is the consistency because when you have the consistency, the players buy in and they believe that it's important. And you, like you said, is you have to find what works for you. And that's one of the things that, you know, is great about our program and that we try to really emphasize with coaches as they come on board is here's what the program is. Here's how it works. Here's how to implement it. But we want you to make it your own. And we're not saying you have to do it on one particular day. And I love that we have a couple different programs where it's the opposite, beginning of the week, end of the week, but they have a reason and a rationale for it. And mm-hmm. if it's something that falls within your conviction as a coach, and then you walk that out and you're consistent in it, then that's going to be something that the players feed off of. The players want to know that this is important. They don't want it, you know, something that's just a flash in the pan, like, oh, we did this week one and two. Now we're in week six and we haven't done it since that. So whether or not, you know, the day of the week, that can fluctuate depending on your schedule. But as you mentioned at the very beginning, is that we don't want to have a gap that goes in between a two-week span. And no matter what it is and whatever sport it is, when the players have that type of consistency, we want their mental focus to be sharp. And we know that that consistency with lead them up is there. And, you know, one thing I wanted to touch on real quick about the get to 12, that originally, when we first started talking about that, that came as a result of the feedback that we had from our members. And the overwhelming majority of the coaches that responded to the success that they had or the level that they had with the program was extremely positive. And I think there was like the 3 or 4% that responded to the survey that didn't quite get to that level of success that they wanted, but admittedly gave us the feedback, it was because they didn't have enough of it throughout the season, that they didn't follow through with it enough throughout the season. So I think, again, we're talking about implementation in the off season and the framework, but in the season, when you're in it, is carrying that momentum throughout, because that's going to allow the players, when the adversity hits through a season, to have the skills of coming together with relationships, the communication that's needed at practice in a game. Everything that's embedded in the program has to be top of mind. And that's one of the things that we constantly talk about, is having a leadership mindset, but that only comes when it's instilled. And something's only instilled if it has constant repetition.
Well said, well said.
Hey, this is Kayla from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. The founder of Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy, often reminded us that in whatever we choose to do our very best. Our team at Chick-fil-A understands that it's not about success. It's not about the records that we set or the performance of an individual player on the team that matters most. What matters is whether we choose to attack our day-to-day responsibilities with excellence. You see, excellence is found in our daily routines. It's the way that you perform in the mundane, or how you respond to failure. It's that decision to go the extra mile when nobody is looking, or how to even say no to that thing that's distracting you from your purpose. You see, excellence is a choice, while success is a result. So the question really is, are you choosing to be excellent in everything that you do? As Truett would often ask, are you giving your very best? Why not? Now let's jump back to the episode.
Kyle, I want to add some additional just experiences of different teams as well. So I was kind of alluding to a lot of fall football teams primarily.
Yeah.
Let me just give some other examples of other teams, other programs, because once again, everyone is so different. Everyone is so different. And you got to kind of figure out what works for your team. But let me just give you some illustrations of what other teams. Let's talk college for a moment. College, a lot of the college work is done in the off season. It's done in the off season because they're actually given allowances within their schedule to actually do leadership work in the off season, where they are restricted on some of the work that they can do as a team from a on field or right. on court, but they are permitted to do a lot of lead them up. So I think about Coach Brad Barber, Hood College, right? Lacrosse program. Late October, so lacrosse starts late February. I forget the exact time, but it's a spring sport, you know. So maybe late January, February, they start picking up. I don't know the exact timing of it. But Hood College, late October, all through November, into Christmas break of December. Jam-packed every single Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Why Thursday night? Because all the kids have college classes during the day. It was a time where they could get all the college kids, you know, all their students, all their on campus. We would go 7 to 8, right? And then they would actually do some fun intramural, like lacrosse stuff after. So it was a great way to kind of do Thursday nights. But 7 to 8 from October to December, it was their off-season leadership program. And that's what they did. Okay. And then they would sprinkle a session periodically throughout the season, just at various moments. But the majority of their 12 sessions were going in the off season. That's how we're going to do it, right? Based on everything else. You take a Howard Community College, one of the top ranked JUCO lacrosse programs in the country. Season kicks off mid-February, January 1. Let's start with the leadership work every single week leading up to the season on a weekly rhythm, which then moved to every other week once the season began. So we kind of stacked it heavy. The first 6 sessions, January through mid-February, weekly, right? And then we moved the other 6 sessions periodically every other week rhythm for the rest of the season, right? Makes sense, right? The season gets going. It gets busier. Let's go every other week, but let's jam pack it. So when we hit the beginning of the season officially, and we get our gear and we're out on the field, we've laid up this framework and foundation and momentum that carries us over. Okay. Now, winter and spring sports in the high school space can be different. You don't get the luxury of what you get in the summer with fall sports.
Right. And different dynamics.
Different dynamics. You're sharing players a lot of times. You know, mm-hmm. you don't get your full roster until some of the fall sports completely finish.
Right.
You know, so you're in a very unique setting. Once again, you've got to evaluate your situation, evaluate the maturity of your team as well. So there will be instances. Let's talk about Quince Orchard basketball. Quince Orchard basketball. They are at a disadvantage to some degree because they share in the same school as Quince Orchard football, which seems to always make late runs into the playoffs.
Yep.
And there's usually four, five, six players, basketball players that also play football that don't join the team until almost the first game, right? They miss like the first couple weeks.
Same week.
Yeah, it's like the same week. So for us, let's take what Coach Mack and I did this past year. We didn't do any sessions until those football guys joined. We just didn't feel comfortable. We didn't think it would produce the impact and the alignment when you only had half the team there. Makes sense.
No, right.
Makes sense.
I had a coach that asked that question last night on their onboarding call. You actually worked with them in person, and we had their onboarding call at Frontier out in Colorado.
Yes. And Brett. We're talking, shout out to Brett. Yep.
Yeah. And we were talking about that dynamic of a coach asked, well, what if, you know, a lot of my guys went through it in the fall season. What do I do when it gets to winter? And we talked about how, well, especially what you just laid out with the coach at Quince Orchard is it's a completely different dynamic. And you want to make sure that everyone's there, because we talked about this in a previous episode, but the people that are going to be the stars on the basketball team, or let's just say they're going to be great for your team, they're top two or three players on basketball. They might have been role players maybe in football. They didn't share that same, you know, lane on the team. So they're going to experience the same content and exercises in a different light now. It's going to hit them at a different place.
Or vice versa. Maybe they were the star, and now, you know, leader of the fall sport. Now they turn into a role play. And now they're just like,
right,
how do I best lead this green team here in my current role, right? Exactly. Maybe there it's more of a followership lean
exactly
into.
Exactly what we talked about is how they're going to rotate between those two roles. And so now you're experiencing both of that, but the same exercise is going to mean a different thing to you.
Yep.
And, you know, that's why you need to have the players there, but you also need to evaluate, you know, where are we at? You just can't go rule of thumb and have a blanket statement for it.
So Coach Mack, we recognized half the team wasn't going to be there until a couple weeks into the, you know, training camp of sorts. And we decided to hold it off. But we then decided once that team was done, oh, we're jumping on the wagon quick. We're going to kind of stack the sessions early to kind of catch up, right? To kind of expedite the momentum generated. And then we'll get into the regular rhythm ongoing.
Right.
Right. Now, let's take Quince Orchard girls soccer. Veteran group that have experienced it before, that have history of it, that are mature, that are close knit. You know what? We did not feel the need to stack early in the season. A steady kind of rollout of the program was what's needed.
Like a slow drip.
A slow drip. Okay. Recognizing this particular team probably has potential to play late into the playoffs, right? So why don't we slow drip it early and then increase the drips when the season begins intensifying, right?
Yeah, when we're closer to that playoff run.
When we've got to be at our best when it matters most. And that's what we did there. Always trying to look at it through the lens of trying to get to the 12 sessions, okay? Mm-hmm. Trying to get to the 12 sessions. Sometimes we don't accomplish it, but when I say don't accomplish it, maybe 10, right? Like I'm not sure. It's not, oh, we didn't accomplish it. We did two. No.
Yeah, that's not even pretty close.
Yeah, that's not even didn't even accomplish it. That you didn't even attempt it. Okay. If you're only getting two or three, right? So, you know, we would get maybe to 10 and not to 12. So be it. Right. But spring, same deal with spring. Walter Johnson baseball, Coach Sutherland. Right, county champions here. We're in year four. year four, year five of Lead 'Em Up, the guys there, they know it. They know it pretty well. And yeah. And for there, we were able to kind of find, once again, a little bit of a different rhythm. Okay. We not only are we adjusting what exercises we're doing based on the personality of the team, but the rhythm of it changes as well. Right. We once again kind of went more to the slow drip. We didn't feel this need to kind of get to it right out of the gate on day one. Okay. We felt like, all right, you know, hey, we've got some time. The boys know we're going to be doing it. They're going to be all in. They always want it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cause they know what it does for the team. And you know what? We actually said this past year, let's build a little suspense on this. I don't think we even did our first session until like 2 weeks in. So there was momentum going. They had a couple scrimmages, right? And we were able to kind of jump in and kind of speak from day one of the green team where we thought they were.
Yeah.
Over the first couple of weeks.
You have that drawback of the first couple of weeks, those experiences, like this could have went better if we did this. And that's a great point to bring up for our returning teams.
Yeah. So you sit there and you're like, hey, all right, guys, well, listen, today we're kicking it off, you know, Lead 'Em Up week one, day one. Y'all been at it for 2 weeks now. And you guys know I'm always capturing reports from coaches. And let me tell you what I got on my recent report from coach. And I'm just kind of speaking what I'm actually sharing to the players, because I always get coaches' reports, right, where I ask them, fill me in on what's happening. Guys, it sounds like there's a whole lot of gray and red that's been creeping in the first couple of weeks. Let me give you some examples. You tell me, you hear this example, what color does it fall on the scale? Last week, three guys showed up 10 minutes late to practice. How does that sound? What color are we looking at? Red. Man, I heard one guy, a little upset that he got pulled early in a game the other day, slammed his helmet out of frustration, which is okay to be upset and frustrated a little bit. Not okay to slam, but to be frustrated, but end up sitting on the end of the dugout bench, not really talking to anybody for the rest of the game, almost like a pouting mode, yeah. Right? What color we describe that behavior? Man, I don't know about you guys. I feel like this is perfectly timed. Y'all need to pay attention. We're not where we need to be, and we're not starting out the way we needed to. I'll let you all kind of do it on your own, see where we're at, and it's not where we need to be. It's time to lean in and lock in. Bam. A more mature team knows green team, knows it, okay? Not doing that on a new team, not doing that on a first team.
Right.
First time team, right? Finding it. So many different nuances. Just wanted to share a variety of different kind of approaches. Once again, some teams doing all programs, some teams just doing varsity, making it more of an exclusive thing. I've got a football program that we do it only with the varsity, except we do a kickoff 90-minute session with the freshmen in summer. And it is good. The freshmen come into the program. They get immediately introduced to what the program's all about on the green team. They gain understanding of what the varsity goes through, and it is established early on. This is how we live, act, and operate in this program. And it hits them on almost week one, where their eyes are big and they're just soaking it all in because it's a new experience, and it resonates. And they hold on to it, and you establish the standard out of the gate. Everybody's different. Hopefully this episode just kind of gave you ideas, just kind of insight into what this team does, what this team does. How does this group work? Please, by all means, if you have any questions personalized to your team, hey, I'm in this situation. I've got this many players playing this sport, this many players, this playing club over here, and I don't get them until this date, right? There's all these dynamics, whatever it is, shoot us an email, Kyle or myself, Kyle@leademup, adam@leademup.com, either one. Right. Or both of us. Let us know what you're kind of going through. If you're on the onboarding call with Kyle, talk through this stuff as you renew your membership, as you go through. Let us help you kind of map out that plan for what your year should look like and kind of what would maybe be the best approach for your team based on the personality. But once again, targeting 12, trying to get in a rhythmic routine of it, committing to doing it. Right. At the minimum every 2 weeks, try not to let it go any longer than that. Right. And make this a focal point in your program. Kyle, anything you want to add before we wrap up here?
No, I think that The biggest thing is, again, consistency, but, you know, lean into the resources that we have and the direct contacts that you have here with us, because we're here for you every step of the way. And it's our goal for you to have the most enjoyable and successful season. So we want to be a part of that, and we want to help you every step of the way.
Awesome. Good stuff. Hey, appreciate everyone listening. As always, we'd love to invite you to follow us on social media. You can check out at Lead 'Em Up on Facebook and Instagram. On Twitter, it's at Lead 'Em Up. Just put the hashtag spaces in between each word. And listen, if you're feeling kind and generous, you would love to take just 30, 60 seconds, go on iTunes. Give us a 5-star if you like the show, of course, right? Don't lie. If you don't like it, skip this part of the exercise here. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. All those little comments just help the momentum of what we're trying to do here and Lead 'Em Up. And we're so thankful for you and your support, your commitment to the leadership and character development of your athletes. And once again, when the leader improves, everybody wins, right? So let's keep pouring into those players. I'm Adam. He is Kyle. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, until next time, we are out.